Okay, can you hear me okay? So here we are, we're at the first meeting of what I heard is the 30th European Young People's Conference here in Poland. So here we are. I know if you're like me, you have been looking forward to this week since last year. And you're so happy, right, that the time has finally arrived. And here we are. Thank the Lord. We all made it here. And tonight we're going to begin. And you'll notice in the outline that you have, this meeting is called an orientation meeting, okay? An orientation meeting. So I'd like to say something a little bit about orientation. Okay, if we're going to be orientated, we need to know where we are, and then we need to know where we should be going. So I'd like to begin talking about where are we right now? Where are we? Well, we are at a conference. Okay, that's where we are. We're not back in our locality. We're not in a mere YP meeting. We're not at a YP getaway or a YP hangout or a YP fun time. Okay, we are at a YP conference. Okay, now don't worry. We're going to have the real and genuine enjoyment here at this conference. If we have the right kind of heart, this conference, this week, will be the most enjoyable week to us. So why do we have conferences? Why are we coming to a conference? Well, the reason why we would come to a conference is because we know that our God is a speaking God. God likes to speak with His people. Actually, He likes to meet with them and to speak with them. So this week, we have to believe God will be here. God will be here to meet with us and to speak with us. And when God meets and speaks with us, He reveals something of Himself. He reveals something of His purpose. He reveals something of what He is doing today on the earth. So this week, we want to enjoy God meeting with us, God speaking with us, and God revealing something to us, something even new that we have never seen before. You know, when I was your age, going to young people's conferences, after the conference, going home, to me, the highlight of the conference wasn't the travel there and back. It wasn't all the fun activities. To me, the highlight would always be there was something in one of the meetings where God spoke something, and it seemed like He was speaking to me, and God revealed something. He showed me something that I had never seen before. To me, that was the diamond. That was the treasure that I took back from the conference. And so we're so happy to see all of you here. But tonight in our orientation, we want to make sure that our heart is in the right place so that God would meet and speak and reveal something to us. And that all of us, when we go home, we would go back with a treasure. That treasure is something of God. Something of God that was made more real to each and every one of us. Well, maybe there might be someone there saying, well, can't God meet with me and speak with me when I'm in my room? Can't God meet and speak with me when I'm in the young people's meeting in my locality? Can't God meet and speak with me in my small group? Why did I have to travel so far? Yeah. for God to meet, speak, and reveal. Well, you're right. God will speak with you. God will reveal things to you. Even when you're in your room reading the Bible, or when you're in a small group meeting or a young people's meeting. But when we come to a conference, what we experience is something that is richer, something that is higher than what we get when it's just us alone, or even just us in our locality. There's something richer. There's something higher of God speaking and God's revealing of Himself and His purpose to us. So we're expecting something richer, something higher. I mean, how about the singing? Brother, do you sometimes sing to the Lord in your room? You do. Is it like what we just had right now? Is it that rich, that high? No, it's not, right? But when you come together with so many others who have paid a price to be here, wasn't that singing so rich, so high? And it was just the beginning. It's going to get richer. It's going to get higher, meeting by meeting. Now, there's something also related to God meeting, speaking, and revealing Himself to a group of people that involves our part, our cooperation. And the first word I'd like to give you is the word atmosphere. Atmosphere. There needs to be a certain atmosphere in which God can fully speak what He wants to speak. God can fully reveal what He wants to reveal. The atmosphere needs to be right, needs to be conducive. And we bear the responsibility of having a certain atmosphere when we come together that would afford God, that would give God the way to speak to us. You know, if I have something on my heart that I want to speak to you, and here I am wanting to tell you something, but you're over there looking at that guy over there, mouthing something to him, hand signaling something to him, do you think I'm going to open what's in my heart to you? No, the atmosphere is just not right. So when we come to the meetings, we need to make sure that there's a proper atmosphere in the meetings to give God the free way to speak to us. So that's why we come on time, right? When we come to the meetings, we don't come to talk. We don't come to sleep. We come to exercise our spirit, right? To sing and to enjoy the Lord. And that creates an atmosphere that gives the Lord the way to speak, but also gives us a way to open. So this is my other word that I want to use, the word open. Open. It fits with the word orientation. Both begin with O. Okay, we need to open. Open to the Lord. So we must begin this conference with an atmosphere of a group of people who are opening themselves to the Lord. Dear young people, open yourself. Open yourself to the Lord. Okay, when we say open yourself, you know, you are a three-part being. Okay, so you have to use all three parts of your being have to be open. Okay, what's the deepest part of your being? Your what?
Spirit.
Let me hear it with the spirit.
Spirit.
Okay, use your spirit. Spirit. Okay, what's the deepest part of your being?
Spirit.
Okay, so your spirit needs to be opened, which means you have to be willing to use your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Okay, then your soul needs to be open. Okay, particularly your soul that is the main component of your heart. So your heart needs to be open to the Lord. So we need an open spirit. We need an open heart to the Lord. How about we right now, we all just open our heart to the Lord in the most simple and basic of ways. Let's just say this. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Okay, brothers.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Oh, good. Sisters.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
All together. Lord Jesus, I love you. Those words are just a simple way to turn our heart to the Lord, to open our heart to the Lord. We also need with our soul, and particularly an open mind, to be able to receive the Lord's speaking, the Lord's thought, even for the Lord to put a new thought into us, into our mind. Well, there's one more part of our being, and that's our physical body. So we need to have our mouth open. Okay, if we're going to receive something from the Lord, not just an open spirit, not just an open heart, not just an open mind, but even you need an open mouth. The more you open your mouth, the more the Lord will fill you. So I hope that you will practice opening your mouth. Okay, open your mouth in the singing times. Open your mouth in your, we call them cabin times or room times, right? With those in your room, when there's time to pray, when there's time to read something, when there's time to answer a question, practice opening your mouth. And you will find as you open your mouth, God will come in. The more we open, the more God comes in, the more God enters into our being. So that's where we are. And that's where we're going this week. We're at a conference. What are we doing here? We're opening to God so that meeting by meeting, day by day, God would be meeting with us, speaking with us, revealing Himself to us, and even God would be adding more of Himself into us. Now, let's take a look at the outline, and let's read the title of the outline together. The Divine Provision, that line. Ready? Let's read it together. The Divine Provision for God's People. Okay. The Divine Provision for you. For you. Okay. You are God's people. So this week, in the evening line, we are going to see God has some specific provisions for us. For us to receive. For us to partake of, so that God's purpose could be fulfilled in us. And we are using the story of the children of Israel and their exodus out of Egypt. Now here, I'd like to say something to you regarding the books of Genesis and the books of Exodus. Okay, Genesis and Exodus are the first two books in the Old Testament. And these books are full of stories, full of stories. And these stories are stories that give us a picture of spiritual things that we experience in the New Testament. So the New Testament describes to us spiritual things for us to receive and experience. But the Old Testament, particularly in Genesis and Exodus, it gives us a picture of these spiritual experiences. And I don't know about you, but for me, a picture really helps. If I'm trying to learn something, if I'm trying to understand something, if I could see a picture of it, rather than just only having words, it helps me to grasp the significance of that matter. So God gave us these wonderful pictures or stories in Genesis and Exodus to help us understand the spiritual significance of many things that God is giving us in the New Testament. Now, in Genesis, the picture there is a picture mainly of an individual personal experience of God. And in one sense, we all have our own individual personal experiences of God. But when we come to the book of Exodus, The book of Exodus is not about an individual and their experience of God, but the book of Exodus is about a corporate group of people called the children of Israel. So there's these two aspects in our life. There will be our personal, individual experience of God, and then there will be the aspect of the corporate experience, realizing we're not the only one on the earth that God is doing something in, but God is actually doing something in a lot of individuals to bring them together to be a corporate group of people. So this conference is a continuation from the last conference, where we saw in the book of Exodus, God had a group of people, the children of Israel, but they were not in a good place. They were in Egypt, and there in Egypt, they were enslaved. They were serving Pharaoh, who is a picture of Satan, and Egypt is a picture of the world. So all of us, we were born into the world, born into a place of slavery under Satan's usurpation, where Satan was doing all that he could to occupy God's people, to keep them from God and God's purpose. But in the book of Exodus, we see that God has a way of saving his people out of Egypt and a way of delivering them out of Egypt. So we ended the last conference. We were all saved. We were all saved from the world, and we were all delivered out of the world. But we also saw that the being saved from Egypt, being delivered from the world, was not the goal. It was the beginning of a journey, the beginning of a long journey for the children of Israel. Do you realize that all of us who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who have been baptized, we are saved. We are saved from the world. We've been delivered from God's judgment on the world. But that's not the end of our journey as a believer. Rather, that was just the beginning of the journey. So all of us, you, including me, the youngest one in this room, to the oldest one in this room, we are all still on that journey. Journey from the world to a goal. When that goal is the fulfillment of God's purpose. And in the book of Exodus, we see that that goal was that the children of Israel, they came out of Egypt, they journeyed through the wilderness, they came to a place called Mount Zion, and there God gave them revelation. He gave them revelation of how to serve Him, and He gave them revelation of how to build God's habitation on the earth. That was the goal of God saving His people out of Egypt. The goal was that they would become a group of people on the earth who would build God's habitation so that God could dwell with them. And when the tabernacle was built there at the end of Exodus, it says that God's glory filled that tabernacle. Now, if you compare the beginning and ending of the books of Genesis and Exodus, it's quite interesting. At least to me, it's interesting. You know, the book of Genesis begins in a wonderful way, right? How does the book of Genesis begin? What's the first verse? Can you just say it? Begin. Right, in the beginning, that's wonderful, right? God. In the beginning, there's God, and God is creating the heavens and the earth. Why is He creating the heavens and the earth? Because He has a purpose. And now He's doing something to work out, to carry out His purpose. So what a wonderful beginning in the book of Genesis. But did you know that the book of Genesis, even though it has a wonderful beginning, it doesn't have such a wonderful ending? Do you know how the book of Genesis ends? It ends with Joseph, one of God's people, dead in a coffin in Egypt. That's not such a good ending. Do you know how the book of Exodus begins? Not so wonderful. Not so wonderful. We'll see in the outline. Not such a wonderful beginning. But the book of Exodus has a wonderful ending. It even has a glorious ending where God has His habitation on the earth with His people. So, brothers and sisters, are you going to stay on the journey to end up at that wonderful ending of God's habitation being built up? God's habitation in the New Testament is the church. You were saved from the world. You were delivered from God's judgment on the world. You were put on this journey with God so that the church could be built up. This is our direction. This is the way that we should be going in our life, brothers and sisters. We should be living in a way that causes God's habitation, that causes the church to be built up on the earth. Well, this conference, we're going to see the experience of the children of Israel from their leaving of Egypt, coming into the wilderness, and journeying through the wilderness. And there's two main things that could summarize their experience of this journey from the Red Sea to Mount Sinai. These two words are led. They were led. They experienced being led by God. And then the second word is supply, or in the outline, we use the word provision. As they journeyed, God was there, not only leading them, but God was there supplying them. God was there providing for them all that they needed so that they could make it. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that you're on this journey, and if you're like me, sometimes the journey, it's long, right? Sometimes the journey feels not just long, sometimes this journey feels difficult. Sometimes this journey feels like it's uphill. Sometimes it feels like I'm going downhill. Well, whether I'm going up or I'm going down, God is there. God is there to lead us, in the right direction. And not only is God there to lead us, but God is there supplying, providing for us everything so that we can make it. Young people, don't let Satan put a thought in you that you can't make it. Don't let Satan put the thought in you, this Christian life thing, it's too difficult for me. I tried it. It's too hard. I just can't make it. Maybe others can make it, but not me. That's a lie from Satan. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to look at yourself and not to look at God, because God is leading and God is supplying so that all of His people who would be led by Him, who would be supplied by Him, all of them can make it. All of them can have that wonderful end in this Christian journey of building the church and bringing God's glory to the earth. So now with that, let's just quickly go through the outline, and then we'll end with a little opening to the Lord. Let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. Exodus, begin. In death and Egypt. Okay, so it begins with a poor condition, but don't forget, it ends in glory. So however you got here, in a good condition, in a not so good condition, in a sense, it doesn't matter. Just open to the Lord, and the Lord will lead you on from whatever your current condition is. He will lead you further on in this journey for the fulfillment of His purpose. Okay, A says, the children of Israel were under the enslavement of Pharaoh, who typifies Satan, the ruler of the world. In order to expose the real situation of life in the world under Pharaoh's usurpation, The book of Exodus describes 12 conflicts between Jehovah and Pharaoh, between God and Satan. In the first conflict, God demanded that Pharaoh let his people go into the wilderness, a 3 days journey to hold a feast unto him. Okay, this demand by God was to let his people go, that they may hold a feast unto Jehovah in the wilderness. The feast is in contrast with the slavery, the harshness in Egypt. Okay, in Exodus 5:1, it says, "Thus says Jehovah, the God of Israel, let my people go, so that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." You know, God does not want to see any of his people enslaved. He wants to bring his people out of the usurpation of the world. And he wants his people to learn how to feast with him, to feast on Christ, to enjoy Christ. And actually, as we would feast on Christ, as we would enjoy Christ, that becomes our worship to God. This is our God, brothers and sisters. Our God doesn't want to see us in bondage. He doesn't want to see us in slavery. What does he want to see you doing? He wants to see you feasting. Feasting on Christ, who has been given to us by God. Okay, then two says, God's intention in giving his chosen people a revelation of the true nature, meaning, and issue of life in Egypt, the world, is to cause his people to hate and become disgusted with Egypt, to leave Egypt behind, and to be separated to God for his dwelling place. So, you know, those 10 plagues were actually to help God's people to see what is the real situation in the world. And I would sum it up in this way. The real situation of those who are living in the world is that it results in spiritual death. It results in being under God's condemnation. In fact, all the things in the world, when you get involved in them, seemingly when you start to get involved with them, they seem so good. They seem that they're going to offer something, a benefit to you, of something of joy to you. But all those things in the world, you start getting involved in them, and they become like a plague. They become a bothersome to you. They become a trouble to you. They become an irritation to you. This is the real situation of the world. And God wants to rescue us, bring us out of the world. But to do that, he needs us to see what is the real situation of the ones who live in the world. It's that they end up in spiritual death. They end up in a lot of situations that are very troublesome, even ensnaring and occupying, not so enjoyable. So once we see this, our heart becomes willing to leave the world behind. Then 3 says, it is only by receiving a revelation of the nature, significance, and result of life in the world, and of God's attitude towards such a life, that we can truly become detached from the world and hate the worldly life. Okay, let's all read Roman numeral 2. Through the Passover and baptism, signified by the children of Israel passing through the Red Sea, we are saved. Okay, so God's provision in the last conference was the Passover. He provided his people the Passover, and he provided them the way of baptism. And that saved his people from the world. That caused his people to be separated from the world. Okay, A says the Passover is a type of Christ, who is not only the Passover lamb, but also every aspect of the Passover. Baptism saves people out of the world into a separated realm Okay, God wants us to be separated from the world, which is, okay, saves people out of the world unto a separated realm, which is for God's purpose, the king, the goal of his salvation, which is the building of his dwelling place for the establishment of his kingdom. So we're journeying on in this conference now to see, how are we to be led by the Lord? How will the Lord provide? How will the Lord supply us on this journey so that we can ultimately be those that build up the church as God's dwelling place on the earth? Okay, why don't you read the focus, and then I have a little closing word and a little practice for us before we end this open time. Let's read this together. In this opening message, true nature, life in the world. So we will want to leave it, finally. And the crossing. We are separated unto God, his purpose. Now we need to be impressed how God intends to reconstitute his people and build them into his habitation. Okay, so this week, we are going to open to the Lord to be impressed. How is he going to reconstitute us? And how is he going to build us into his habitation? Now, young people, for this part, we'd like to take 5 minutes right where we are just to personally, with the Lord, have a time just to open to him. And in this time, even would be good, your eyes are closed so you're not worried about what everyone else is doing. This is just you and the Lord, you opening to the Lord. And you know, when we open to the Lord, we don't need to compose long prayers. Actually, many can testify the best way to open to the Lord is by praying simple prayers, praying short little prayers. And then when we open to the Lord, we can open about many things to the Lord. You know, we saw that the children of Israel, they were not in such a good condition in the beginning of the book of Exodus. Well, how are you? How's your condition? How about you just open your condition to the Lord? You don't need to be complicated. Just say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I open to you. Lord, I've been struggling. I've been struggling with you, but I'm here to open to you. It's okay to talk to the Lord in this way. This kind of talking is a praying. It's an opening, telling the Lord where we really are, opening to him where we really are with him. And then we would go on, Lord, here I am. I just open where I am with you. Lord, you know my real condition. Lord, you know my real situation. But Lord, I'm here, and I'm here because I want to go on. Lord, I open to you that you would bring me further in the journey. Don't you all want to go further in this journey with the Lord? The Lord brought you this far, but you're not at the goal yet. How about you just open? Just tell the Lord you want him to bring you all the way. Then you could continue just in your time, just opening to the Lord. Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm opening. Lord, bring me on. Lord, speak something to me. Lord, reveal something to me. Lord, I came all this way. I don't want to go home without hearing you speak something to me, without you revealing something new to me. Ask the Lord. You know, the Lord said, if you ask, you shall receive. You should put that to the test. Ask him. And then he'll prove if you ask for the right things, you'll receive them. These are things that we can do to open to the Lord. Then as we continue, just, you know, you might do that. And you might say, wow, that seemed more like 30 minutes, but it wasn't even five. It was my 2 minutes. So you have a little bit more time. Then you could just open. Lord, I open my heart to you. Lord, I open whatever's in my heart that you want to shine on, whatever you want to touch. Lord, I just open my heart to you. Lord, I open my whole being to you. Well, how about right where you are now? Just take 5 minutes. Just practice. Practice. Learn how to just open to the Lord. Give yourself to the Lord. Give these next 7 days to the Lord for the Lord to bring you on in this wonderful journey with Him.
Oh, it's good to take a few minutes to open to the Lord, isn't it? I appreciate our brothers speaking. You all have one of these, right? Isn't this a good book? I mean, this is like something you're going to want to keep for a long time. You know, the labor that went into producing this, and even all of the things, the registration, the t-shirts, all the arrangements has been just so good. I really feel the Lord has blessed us very much. Well, what I would like to do is just take a few minutes to tell you about this book. In the beginning of this book, in the first section, you'll see a section called Morning Revival, A Time with the Lord. Oops, that's evening sessions. Yeah, you got these orange pages. Sorry, I'm a little slow here. Morning Revival, A Time with the Lord. And then we have the morning session outlines that follow the next section. And then we have the evening line outlines that are in the next section. And then finally it ends with the evening group times. Now, as our brother shared, this is a conference. It's not a training. But we really would like every one of you to get into what's here. The material here for the group time in the evenings should be a further kind of speaking that could really have a big effect on us. To do this in a small group way will really help us. And then in the mornings, always take the 20, 30 minutes that's in the schedule to pray over a couple of verses and to read through the ministry portion together. Every morning it's really good to spend some time to again open ourselves up to the Lord. Even as we did just now, you don't know how refreshing that is to get things off your heart, get them off your chest, and to just be an open vessel before the Lord. So let's do that every morning and do it with our group, with our serving ones, and learn how to even open up to one another, especially in the evening group time after you have a little prayer together. I really suggest that you just pray around. Each one of you pray something. You know, one by one, pray something from the meeting or from your heart, whatever. And then get into the material that's here in the book. And then after that, have a little fellowship. And the fellowship should go something like this. What really touched me in the meeting tonight is this. And just say. And if you didn't get anything in the meeting, just say, I didn't get anything in the meeting tonight. And go on. The next one could share something. Eventually, you'll get something in the group meeting or the group time. So this would really like to stress, don't just go back to your room and fool around or waste time or talk joking and things. But really, the whole package is the conference, not just the messages, okay? The whole thing. We consider that this conference is made up of a number of factors. We have meals together. We have afternoon activities together. We have a hike together. We sing together. We have some messages. We have morning time. We have an evening time. All these pieces fit together to create and produce the whole thing. Don't miss any part of this. Amen? Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, brothers.
Here we go, brother. Well, saints, before we continue with the regulations, there's one item we need to correct. So, brothers with the lanyards, please come forward. It is a regulation in the European Union in conferences with young people that there needs to be a clear distinction between who's a young person and who's a serving one. And so there was a mistake in the way the lanyards were handed out. So this is a badge, and this thing that hangs around your neck is the lanyard. And so if you are a young person, you should have a blue lanyard, a blue one. Okay, if we could be quiet, we want to go through this really quickly. There's no need to discuss.